for listening to the Gregor Show podcast. Are you looking for something unique? Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Learn more at lakewoodchev.com.
Host of the Basketball Hour here at TSN 1260 on Saturdays, along with Mark Majot. Here's Paul Sir, is also the executive director of Basketball Alberta, former pro player in Europe. And Paul, we've had now another week for you to watch and digest the Raptors overall team without Kyle Lowry. Well, what do you make of it? And do you think the Raptors could win a playoff series without Lowry?
I don't think they could right now, Jason. I found the game the other night against a very weak New Orleans team with Davis missing most of the game, less than impressive, but with some bright moments. Valanciunas playing well, getting the ball, was good to see, and maybe that will pay more benefits as long as they keep feeding him. DeRozan was passing the ball better, but I think what's really settling in now with NBA teams and their strategy against the Raptors is they're going to double-team DeMar DeRozan, make the Raptors get the ball out of his hands and let somebody else do something with it. So I think they're going to struggle. So right now, I still like Ibaka in particular. Tucker is who Tucker is, and he's doing some good things for them. But I just think the Raptors, they're – ability to win a playoff series, I just don't think they have enough firepower to do that.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, you lose Lowry, and if everybody, like you say, takes away DeRozan, now easier said than done, there's not enough throughout the rest of the lineup to make up for that. I mean, Valanciunas cannot carry that much offense, can he?
You know, I like you're right, Robin. I think if Valanciunas gets the ball where he needs to get the ball, which is close to the basket. And he does have a nice mid-range jump shot as well, and he's an excellent foul shooter for a big man.
Yeah.
He can be effective. So I like the fact that they went to him and gave him a chance to actually really contribute meaningfully on the offensive end. But to your point, Robin, when you go out of DeMar's hands, I mean, Corey Joseph is a good NBA player. He's not a great NBA player. And he can be stopped. He's not going to get you 25 in a game very, very often. He's going to get you 8 to 12. And then beyond that, there's just not enough guys that can create their own shot or make their own offense. And Norman Powell comes and goes. He's still not at a point now where you can put him in the game and really know what you're going to get offensively from him. So without Kyle Lowry, who's an all-star and one of the best at his position in the league, that's a big hole to fill. And it also, I think, goes back to what a lot of people have said has been a major weakness of the Raptors, and that is that they rely on individualism as opposed to team play to score. And when you have DeRozan without his running mate, a 20-plus scorer like Lowry with him, you can take away any player's ability to score at will anyway when you start double-teaming them and making them give the ball up.
Ibaka, how have you liked him, his addition to Toronto? I know the coach said, hey, we really like his kind of spunk and he's more aggressive. Has he fit in well, or do you expect to see more from him at both ends?
I like him a lot. I think Ibaka is doing what Ibaka does. He's blocking some shots. He's giving the Raptors a real nice presence when they go and play small ball. And he plays pretty well with Valanciunas on the floor. So I really like what Ibaka brings. He has a good mid-range shot. He can hit the three. He could do more, I think, with his back to the basket. He's one of those posts that wants to float out and just take jump shots. But he's a very good rebounder, and he's a very good defender. So I think he's been a net positive to the Raptors. It's guys like that they need more from, like Norman Powell, like Patrick Patterson, that you just don't know night in and night out what you're going to get from them, and they just need more from them. And I think they're capable of it, but without Lowry, again, back to your original question, Jason, this just isn't the same team, even with Ibaka and Tucker.
Yeah, Paul. And last time we talked to you, touching on injuries, leaving Toronto, have you had a chance to see much of the Warriors yet, who are lacking one of their big guns in Durant?
One of the topics, I have Dan Dickow, the great Gonzaga player and played in the NBA for about 6 years, on the Basketball Hour this weekend. And one of the questions I want to ask Dan is, are the Warriors weaker this year with Durant out than they were last year with Steph Curry out? Hmm. And when, you know, Curry was gone for an extended period of time last year, and the Warriors really didn't miss a beat. Not that they didn't miss Curry, who was the league MVP. They certainly did. But I think the supporting cast that they had was much better last year. So having Durant out, who was having in many ways a career season because he was as good as he's ever been on offense, but he was better than he's ever been on defense. And I'm surprised to see that. But the Warriors miss his defense as much as they miss his offense. And I don't think Curry's the same player this year, and I don't know if that's just he's having an off year, if it's the adjustment to the offense with Durant in it. I don't know. I mean, he's still leading the NBA in three-pointers, for goodness sakes, by a mile, but he's not the same player. And so, you know, I've watched the Warriors quite a bit, and I think San Antonio has a legitimate shot at catching them by the end of the season. I don't think that's impossible at all. To me, the Warriors are just not as strong at different positions with losing Barnes, Bogut, Spates. Those were big players in big parts of their rotation last year.
Well, yeah, they're a game and a half back with the game in hand, so they win that one. Suddenly they're a game back, still with over 20 games to go in the season. So, yeah, ample time. Now, looking at the Raptors, and Kyle Lowry doesn't sound like he'll be ready before the end of the regular season. So, Toronto, I think it'd be hard-pressed out to catch Boston. So, them and Washington likely are going to battle for 3 and 4. You've got Atlanta and Indiana, who look to be the teams that will be 5 and 6. Who would you rather see the Raptors face, Atlanta, Indiana, in the first round, and why?
I think the matchups favor the Raptors against Atlanta. I don't like the way they match up against Indiana. Paul George is a problem. They've got pretty good players at all positions, where Atlanta seems to have some glaring weaknesses, and I just think the matchups work in the Raptors' favor. So, and Indiana has beaten some good teams on the road recently. They seem to be finding themselves right now, where Atlanta is still a good team and a dangerous team in a 7-game playoff for the Raptors. But I think the matchups, even without Lowry, would make it more likely that the Raptors could beat Atlanta in that kind of series.
Interesting. Paul, I know there's a way to go. If you had to write down your MVP today, is there anybody outside of James Harden and Russell Westbrook that has a real shot?
You know, I really am grateful you asked that, because last week I was very definitive about Russell Westbrook, and I've changed my mind. I've jumped off the Westbrook bandwagon, not because he doesn't deserve to be in the thick of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I watched the game the other night where he had 58, but it was hard to watch a guy it was hard to watch Russell Westbrook force as many shots as he did to the detriment of the team, even though the opposite is true. They would have never been in the game without him getting 58 points. He's a real polarizing force on the floor. But my guy is Kawhi Leonard.
Oh.
I think he is the MVP in the league because of what he does on both ends of the court. And I suppose I have a soft spot for him because it's not just what he does, it's the way he does it. I don't know if you or the listeners saw the sequence sequence of San Antonio against Houston. Clock's running down. Spurs have come back from a long way down. Leonard comes off the screen, hits a deep three, hand in his face, sprints down the court, and blocks James Harden's shot and gets the rebound and goes down and makes the free throws to ice the game. It was one of the more remarkable sequences I've ever seen by an individual. And what really stood out to me, Robin and Jason, was not that just he did it, it's the way he did it. a lot of NBA players, if they would have hit that shot, you would have seen the fist pumping and the grandstanding that they do. Leonard gives a little fist pump, goes down and blocks the shot, gets the rebound, makes the free throws. He just is so efficient. He is relentless, but he does it with such class. And I don't think anybody, the way I've seen the season unfold, I think he does as much for San Antonio as Westbrook does for Oklahoma City and Harden does for Houston. But those would be the three front runners with LeBron James tossed in just because he's having a very, very good season. But I have a real, real soft spot for Leonard and what he's doing. And to be within a game and a half of the Warriors is really remarkable given that Duncan isn't there anymore.
Paul, always great to talk a little basketball with you. What do you guys got coming up on Saturday?
Dan Dicko, as I mentioned, is going to be on, and we'll have a great conversation about the NCAA. We'll start gearing up for March Madness with the brackets coming out on Sunday.
Who are you liking? Who's your team?
You know, I don't really have a team in the NCAA. It's so hard to really say this team is a favorite. I have I would love to see Roy Williams win a title at North Carolina. So that would be my pick right now, Jason.
Okay, that's fair. Well, we'll tune in on Saturday. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you.